Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 17th of November, recording at 9:15 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, a bit hoarse voice here again today. I apologize for that because I have been talking all day at the chart seminar and also at the drinks reception afterwards, and I only really got back from that an hour ago. So that means I haven't had time to do anything in terms of comment of the day. I thought that might not be the case, but I did promise to do the audio. It's not going to be as long as usual, perhaps, because I'm not sure how well the voice will hold out, but here we go. First, the review of what's happened in the last week, and in terms of stock markets, they've been generally quite steady, edging higher. European markets to the fore, the Asian markets that have been leading all along, still doing quite well. The China, Hong Kong indices and the Philippines, Indonesia, India, very much to the fore. Japan, very much underperforming. The laggard. But today, the European stock markets got clipped a bit. The gains were mostly small, but I can see looking at the screen, the UK down over 1%, the CAC down over 1%, OMX down over 1%. So they've been so steady that those declines stand out a little bit, and they don't quite qualify as dynamics, but again, markets have been so steady that any deterioration, any weakness stands out a bit. Wall Street, though, doing reasonably well in here, closing up 36 on the Dow, one and a bit on the S&P, down only slightly on the NASDAQ, so generally firm there overall. So it was another good week for stock markets for the most part, with just this softening in Europe. Government bonds generally steady. They'd weakened yesterday, but they picked up again today. Evidently, there were some bearish housing starts. The oil price weakened again, but looks like it closed well off the low. Let me just check this to make sure. Spot crude was down 45 cents, and then it got thumped yesterday. It was having a quiet week, you know, and a big downward move yesterday, a real eyebrow raiser. 55.81, the low was 54.86, so that's a dollar off the low that it actually had actually occurred. But after yesterday's big decline, any downside follow-through is certainly evidence supporting the bears rather than the bulls. It looks like the products did not follow suit. In other words, heating oil, I noticed, closed a bit firmer on the day. It had sold off very sharply, but then picked up to close well on the higher side of the range, so leaving some tail in here today. But that's been mostly bearish drama in here this week, but almost all of it coming yesterday. And precious metals, oil has roiled the precious metals a little bit in here, causing them to give up gains yesterday, some good gains yesterday. And I note that platinum was very weak this morning, but rebounded and closed quite strong. Irritatingly, it did stop out my initial position, which is two-thirds of my position, almost near the lows of the day. But give you the idea of the volatility here. I mean, stuff happens in markets. It stopped me out at a modest profit, but the trouble is a five-figure profit on that position, which existed yesterday and would exist today had I not had the stop. Was lost. It dipped down to 11.35 and then closed at 11.90, just over 11.90, very, very close to the high on the day. So again, these markets being a bit nervous, roiled by what's going on in energy. That has been the feature on the week, really. And grains still consolidating, grains and beans, but a little bit firmer in here today. Okay, where do we actually stand? Well, stock markets at the chart seminar today, rousing stuff, although I tend to do it on adrenaline and inspired by the feedback I get from the delegates, mostly who are mostly subscribers. But we did, in reviewing loads of charts in the afternoon in the drill practice sessions, we're looking at charts the whole time, but reviewing so many. And something that I have been talking about recently is that a number of those stock market trends, while very orderly, very consistent, getting small consolidations along the way, were becoming overextended. Now, to try to view that in perspective, we had that medium-term correction causing a very sharp decline in May and June. Then, in the second half of June, stock markets bounced off that low and then came back down in July to retest the lows in most instances and then rallied back up. And I'm talking about the Asian markets, I'm talking about the European markets, and most of the Asian markets have gone on up to new highs. Hong Kong, I beg your pardon, Hong Kong certainly has. The Japanese stock market is the notable exception there. It's way underperformed. But all those European markets, developed European markets, moved back up to new highs, and most of the developing ones as well. Wall Street, of course, moving up to new highs, led by the Dow, with the S&P close behind. Very steady gains. But you look at this overall, and depending on whether you start from the June or July low here, markets have seen a good 5 months of upward progress. A good 5 months of quite strong action with only very slight corrections. Now, one of the things we were doing in the seminar this afternoon with a new library, in looking at some of the indices, when we were looking at stock market indices, I had Owen, who was running the projector, put in the 200-day moving average on those weekly charts. It works best on those. And I use this not so much as a support or a resistance level, but it's a trend smoothing device. It'll highlight the degree of that overextended condition in terms of a regression from the moving average. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that this latest rally, which has persisted for the better part of 5 months, has pushed many of these stock market indices well above that 200-day moving average. And as I say, we've only had these very minor corrections. So, in my view, they are becoming increasingly vulnerable to a longer, somewhat bigger pullback and a longer consolidation. Now, I want to emphasize, and I touched on this briefly yesterday in my audio, but I want to emphasize that I'm not expecting anything like as big a reaction as we saw in May and June. I was expecting that correction, and described it saying it's not going to be a bear market, it'll be a medium-term correction. And you know how sentiment works in the marketplace. We got this shock, sharp decline, and then a lot of people said, this is a bear market, it all looks all like a bear market. Well, that was never my view, as you know, just a medium-term correction, and those can be quite sharp, as we saw. Wall Street, interestingly, got the smallest correction, but up to that point it had had the smallest gains overall. But so I'm not expecting anything like a repeat of that, but I am expecting a little bit more of a pullback in what have been these amazingly orderly uptrends and a longer sort of ranging phase of consolidation. That would be healthy for markets. Now, when will that actually occur? I think that could happen pretty well any time, but we don't have a whole lot of evidence that that has happened just yet. But the charts, as I say, are becoming overstretched. And this is how this overstretched condition will be resolved. I don't think the correction risk would be dangerous unless markets just kept on moving higher and in this orderly fashion, and then perhaps accelerated higher, clearly accelerated higher. That would be more dangerous. That would lead to a bigger reaction and consolidation. But that could happen, theoretically. And that would necessitate a little bit of defensive action, such as lightening or putting on some hedges against long positions. But at this stage, I have no concern about a correction such as I described occurring any time soon in terms of my investment portfolio. What I might do is trim some of my leveraged positions, which are doing quite well in here, but I would expect them to maybe do less well if we saw that, quite probably do less well if we did see that correction and consolidation. So that's the main point I want to make in this audio regarding the stock markets. Now, what about factors that might indicate a bigger risk? Well, they're not really there. All this is just 5 months on the upside with barely a pause, and a pause has just really been a little sideways trading range lasting a week or two at most. We're due for a little bit more of a disruption to this upward trend. There's nothing alarming about that whatsoever. Nothing alarming. But I wouldn't be putting any new money in the market until we see that reaction, as I've already said. Now, what about those storm clouds that I've talked about? The bond market is not a problem that we want to watch. So the storm clouds are still way out to sea there. And I feel I can see them. And maybe that requires a little bit of imagination, some people would say. But I think that bond yields are going to move up at some point, but they're not doing so right now. That's the crucial bit. And the other one is the oil price. If the oil price starts to move up, then people will stop saying that inflationary pressures are coming down. Some inflationary pressures are not coming down, but oil's the big one that the central banks are going to worry most about, and it's certainly a crucial one as far as the consumer is concerned. So those storm clouds, in terms of a more serious correction, are still well out there at sea on the distant horizon and are not a threat in here now. So I don't expect any medium-term big correction such as we saw in May and June. I certainly don't expect any bear market activity here anytime soon. This remains a favorable period seasonally, and so does 2007, the third year of the U.S. presidential election cycle. And the action in stock markets has been what I would hope for. If anything, it's been better than I would have actually hoped for, thus a little bit of short-term vulnerability in terms of a correction and pullback and consolidation, which could occur relatively soon. Government bonds, I've already touched on them. They will stay reasonably firm, I think, while the oil price is weak. And voices going a bit here, but I carry on as long as I can. The U.S. dollar, it had steadied a little bit over the last 2 days. Nothing in terms, no, certainly no dynamics, but it steadied a little bit. I notice it's eased a little bit in here today. I don't really like the dollar much, as you know, but it had come down within its range on the US dollar index. You can see that on the charts. It come down towards a couple of little previous lows, still all very much within the range, and has steadied up a bit. But my guess is that it doesn't have much on the upside, and it would require a clear upward dynamic for me to change my mind on that, and I don't expect that. So my best guess is that it messes around, ranges a little bit here, then before heading somewhat lower. And the oil price, though, this really is important. The weaker oil price is good for the consumer, good for global GDP growth. It's good for everybody except for the oil producers, of course. And I'm talking about the oil producing countries, in particular. And it's a bit bearish for the alternative energy fuels area. The only one that's not being hurt by this and is unlikely to be hurt by this a bit is the nuclear area, since that is, again, a very, very important story. Incidentally, on the nuclear shares, most of these don't make money, and a lot of them never are going to make money, even though the Did I say nuclear? I did say nuclear. Let me start again over, and then I apologize. I'm tired here. The uranium shares. Most of the uranium shares do not make money. And a lot of them are never going to make money because anybody who's got a rock and a Geiger counter is floating a uranium share. Now, that doesn't mean that investors shouldn't be playing that sector. Not at all, because it's hot. Still attracting money. The charts are performing well, but play it entirely on the charts, I would suggest. So when those charts start to falter, let alone give some downward dynamics, I think discretion would be the better part of valor. Let me put it that way, because this is bubble territory. Again, no earnings for most of them, no prospects of earnings for really quite some time. And remember that old mining adage that many a great mine was ruined by the sinking of a shaft. So trailing stops on the uranium shares, that's the way to play it. And when they lose upside momentum, that the trailing stops would protect the gains that you've got. So this is not investment. These little uranium shares. This is a highly speculative field and needs to be played technically on the basis of the charts. Okay, moving on here to the oil price. As I said, good for the consumer, good for GDP growth. It's good for keeping the inflationary pressures that are going to worry the central banks perhaps most. And remember, they're involved in the business of managing inflationary expectations and massaging the figures somewhat. That's pretty well known. So again, if oil's not on the front page in terms of price rises, that's going to please the central banks overall. So that will take some pressure off rising interest rates until global growth is clearly picking up again, and the signals are probably going to be quite mixed, particularly with the US economy, for a few months yet. But when global GDP growth does pick up again, and when government long-dated bond yields begin to weaken at some point again, and when that oil price shows some clear evidence that it has bottomed out, and it hasn't done that. I've been premature in my thinking on that. It hasn't gone a whole lot lower, but there's still no definitive evidence that it has bottomed. Therefore, it's still open to some further the prospect of some further weakness here. When that oil price chart starts to look bullish again, and clearly is moving higher, then that will cause more concern among central banks, and government bonds will be more vulnerable, and it won't be all that long after that that stock markets will be a bit more vulnerable. We should be able to see that coming. In other words, stock markets will be vulnerable to a little bit more than just the type of ranging, a bit of a pullback, modest pullback and ranging consolidation that I expect right now. But I still think that most of that will take place in an environment over the next couple of years that is clearly more bullish than bearish for stock markets. Now, precious metals. I've been saying that precious metals want to go up. Of course, precious metals don't have any mind of their own, but investors have been putting money into precious metals, feeling that this sector is showing evidence of support building and likely to move higher. And that's certainly my view. But oil still remains a major headwind for these precious metals. So they're vulnerable to some choppy action, as we have been seeing, and some setbacks. I certainly don't expect any collapse or challenging of the June lows. I don't see why we should see that. But they may get more ranging support building before they are able to sustain stronger moves on the upside. And you've seen almost on a daily basis how they rally very strongly when the oil price is a bit firm, and its oil price hasn't been firm except within its range, previous range. And you see how when oil gets nailed, as it did yesterday, and a little bit of follow through today, that does cause problems for the precious metals, but not big problems. Gold here, 622. Platinum caused me a disappointment in terms of triggering a stop, but moved straight right back up again. And silver hovering around just a tad below this $13 level, $12.98 and a bit. So they're not doing too badly overall, but they can't go up a lot while this oil price is so weak. That's my view. Grains and beans still consolidating in here. Watch wheat. Wheat's the leader. Wheat led on the upside, and it's leading on the corrections. Leaders so often lead in both directions. And incidentally, on stock markets, in wondering about the specific timing of that next somewhat bigger pullback and ranging sideways consolidation for global stock markets, watch the markets that have led on the upside. In Europe, that's Switzerland and Spain, and the Asian markets. Well, it's been the Chinese related ones, including the Hong Kong Hang Seng, which have been the strongest overall. There's a possibility that they may uncouple a bit there. So watch things like the Philippines, watch things like Indonesia, which have been very much to the forefront of that Asian rally as well. They may well be lead indicators here. And I think that's pretty much it. We're going to get back to normal full service next week in terms of a comment of the day. I haven't got any comment of the day in here today. And I look forward to the resumption of normal service with you and on your behalf. So again, thanks for all those emails and so on. We have corrected a couple of bugs that were mentioned yesterday in the new chart library, and hopefully there aren't any very more bugs. But if you do spot a bug, let us know and we'll get it corrected quickly. And I noticed that some of the emails that people have felt that something wasn't working, and actually it is working. So don't forget to keep those user notes on the new library close to hand. And meanwhile, enjoy. All the very best. I hope you're having a great weekend. I've got two operas. That's a great weekend for me, and some rest. Okay, all the best.